Roll down tide.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, this is the Beer Garden presented by Oxford Crystal.
I'd like to hear a little bit more conviction in your take, though. There was a lot of maybes, a lot of what ifs, a lot of questions. You need to just get on here. You need to fire and put me in a position where I have to tell you that you're wrong.
And now, here's your host, Neil McCready.
Nice. Nice.
Another edition of the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. I'm your host, Neil McCready. You're probably used to that by now. Today on the show, a really good one. We're going to talk the coaching carousel. Edward Ashoff of ESPN.com. You'll probably hear this on a Thursday, maybe even early on a Friday. I taped it with him on Wednesday. Nothing has changed other than the Tennessee situation becoming even more combustible. So you'll hear a lot of talk about everything happening in the SEC. Talk about the SEC championship game. It's this weekend, Auburn and Georgia at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. Still feels weird not to say the Georgia Dome. Rest in peace, Georgia Dome. Anyway, that's in Atlanta. We'll talk about that game a little bit and talk about who he thinks will be in the playoff, who should be in the playoff. So a lot of college football. If you like college football, you will like this edition of the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. So we'll get to Ed in just a minute. First, let me tell you about the Oxford Crystal right now. It's on Highway 6 West, right next to the Oxford Exxon. I tell you all the time, fill up at the Oxford Exxon and then fill up at the Oxford Crystal. You can get the mix 5 for $5. Pick any 5 of your Crystal favorites for $5 all the time. You also have the breakfast coming in for the Ole Miss Virginia Tech game on Saturday. It's a 1 o'clock start. Maybe you're coming in early. Grab some Crystal on your way in. You get that loaded hash brown scrambler bowl combo. It includes sausage, gravy, eggs, cheese, and crispers. It's served with a small coffee and small crispers. 79-cent original Crystals all day at the Oxford Crystal. And it is the holiday season. Christmas is about 4 weeks away. You can still get that pumpkin spice milkshake or hot cocoa there at the Oxford Crystal. We're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. Clark Ford is in Amory. 662-257-1900 is the number. You call that number. You ask for Corey Clark. You tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for, and Corey will send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's really that simple. There's no haggling. It's right to the bottom line. Great deal, great product, great service after the sale on your vehicle from Clark Ford, and we'll make it even better. Tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden, and you'll save an additional $500 on your new Ford here in, I guess we're basically in December, aren't we? In the holiday month, the end of the year. Don't forget, dealers are motivated to move vehicles off the lots here at the end of the year for tax purposes. Take advantage of that and save $500 by just mentioning the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. 662-257-1900 is that number. All right, now let's go to our pal Edward Ashoff of ESPN.com and hear what he has to say on today's Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. Edward, thanks so much for being here. As you know, and this isn't lip service, you're easily one of my favorite guests on any any podcast for whatever reason.
Too kind.
Well, you just know a lot, and you're not afraid to express some thoughts and some opinions because it is, at the end of the day, it is football. It is not the cure for cancer. It is not politics. Ooh. It is not avoiding nuclear war. It's just football. It's just.
You better calm down with that. We'll get you back on Twitter with that kind of stuff.
That is true. Those are hot takes that'll get me back. I'm discovering that not having Twitter is not being involved in Twitter makes doing my job more difficult. So I've got to figure out what it is that how I'm going to handle this. I'm leaning towards, at this point, being on Twitter but not tweeting.
Yeah, that's tough. Because someone's always going to say something. And sometimes you just want to get, you want to get dirty like a mud wrestler, you know, you just want to get in it. Like Twitter is like a drug, man. You can't really quit it. So I'm going to go over under a week. I know you, Neil.
Yeah.
You've got too much fighting spirit.
I do have a lot of fighting spirit and I do like to talk to people and I actually like to engage people even when they attack me. It doesn't bother me. I don't mind being attacked.
I'm the exact same way, because I don't see my job as something that elevates me to some sort of status. So when people come at me, I'm like, oh, well, let's have a conversation about it. The problem that I have is when people decide that no matter what I say, they have this vision of me, this negative vision, and I can't, like, we can't even have a conversation. I don't care if you disagree. I just want to be able to have a constructive conversation. And it usually just turns into, oh, well, you're a homer or whatever. You don't know anything about this. And it's just like, okay, well, we're going around in circles now.
Yeah, you know where my problem is with it is, one, you know, it's very simple. It's I've been burned with this before in Mobile, a totally different level. It's I know that when I'm doing a podcast, I'm talking about advertisers and sponsors, and I'm responsible for the content on my podcast being a positive reflection on those people. And those people help me pay my bills, and I appreciate them more than words can say. But on Twitter, I've always approached Twitter like Twitter's mine. Twitter's not
right.
Twitter's not owned by Rivals.com. Twitter's not owned by MPW Digital, which is the, you know, the quote owner of our podcast, which is us. Twitter's mine. It's just me. It's where I'll tweet pictures of my dogs, and I'll tweet pictures of my kids, and I'll tweet stuff. And Twitter's, I don't like Facebook. It's passed me by. I don't like it. It's too.
You're not missing anything.
Yeah, Facebook's too political for me, and so I don't go there. And it's also, it's kind of like, that's where my wife does social media, and so that's hers. And I don't really like Instagram, because that's where my kids do social media, and that's theirs. And they have Finsta accounts, which are fake Instagram accounts that mom and dad can't see, and that's cool. I'm glad. You know what I mean? I mean, it's cool. I mean, I trust my kids for the most part, and so Twitter's mine. Like, my wife doesn't do Twitter. My kids don't really do Twitter. They have Twitter accounts, but they don't really pay much attention to them. So Twitter's mine, and yet my concern, and I saw it happen to me on Sunday night because I was vocal about what I thought happened at Ole Miss, and I'll get your thoughts on that in a minute. But I tweeted some things that were harsh. I stand by them. I believe them. But sponsors got some pushback from people, and I'm like, oh, man, I don't really want to go down this road again.
Yeah. No, yeah, it stinks that there's a line that we have to kind of tiptoe around when it comes to social media. But the thing is like, we get affected, but the trolls don't, right? Like that's where it really gets me sometimes. Like we voice our opinion, and if it's not up to the standards of some people, you know, we face, you know, some sort of backlash.
Yeah.
But the trolls can do whatever they want. And so they'll fight us. Like they will come at us no matter what. And, you know, it's do you want to be the bigger person? Do you want to stand up? My mama told me, stand up for yourself. Doesn't mean you have to fight somebody. Just stand up for yourself.
Yeah.
That's how I take it.
Yeah, that's me. And people say, why do you always defend yourself against certain things? Well, because it's wrong. And
exactly.
So I'll defend it. I mean, and I'll be the first. Like I put out a tweet. It's the last tweet that I've done where I said, hey, I think I got something wrong on Charlie Strong. And, you know, I'd said that he had talked to Ole Miss, and that Ole Miss said that he was abrasive. And Charlie said that he did not speak to Ole Miss. And I felt bad about that. And so I got on Twitter and I said, hey, I was wrong. And I apologized to Charlie Strong. And so I'm not one of these people that can't be wrong and can't admit I was wrong. But, you know, I don't know. We've spent too much time on it. People are already going to get to it. So let me – Ed Ashoff, ESPN.
They're already going to Twitter to bash us.
They are. They're like, hey, get to it. So let's get to it. I'm going to get to Tennessee in a second because as we record this, it is Wednesday. It is 11:13 a.m. Central. It's 9:13 in the morning in California. It's 12:13 p.m. in Knoxville, and it looks like Tennessee is going to hire Jeff Brohm from Purdue. We'll get to that. I started to say Louisville because he was at Louisville forever, but from Purdue.
Yes.
We'll get to that in a minute. First, let me get your thoughts on the Ole Miss hire, the search that resulted in taking the interim tag off Matt Luke. Look, I cover the program. I've been here every day. I've said this on numerous platforms. I'll say it one more time just in case there's any confusion. I'm very happy for Matt. Congratulations to Matt Luke. It's a neat story whenever anyone in any walk of life, in any field, achieves his dream job or her dream job. That's exciting. When someone gets to go to a newspaper or a guy like you gets the gig in LA with ESPN that is probably approaching kind of a dream job. That's cool. It's great. Matt Luke grew up going to Ole Miss games, cheering for the Rebels. He played for the Rebels. He was an assistant with the Rebels. He becomes the interim head coach. He gets the head coaching job. That's great. I'm thrilled for Matt. I hope it goes well because Matt Luke seems like a really good guy. I can say that and at the same time question the process and the end of the process that led to his hiring without that being an affront to Matt Luke, the person, or Matt Luke, the guy who ended up landing the job. So I say all that to set up this question. Were you as surprised as I was that this ended in Matt Luke being the head coach at Ole Miss?
Yes, I was. I was surprised that it was Matt Luke this early. I really did think that Ole Miss would wait to see what happened with the NCAA investigation, wait to see what was in the COI, and see if it was bad enough that they couldn't lock down a big time out of the circle coach, that Matt Luke would certainly be involved. And I think that he certainly deserved an interview regardless, even if the NCAA didn't come down hard on him. But I really did think that this would be a longer process. I think that's what's most surprising to me, is that when everything started to happen with Dan Mullen in Florida, and then you start to hear the Greg Schiano stuff with Tennessee, that falls through, and it's just like this whirlwind of coaching, and all of a sudden Ole Miss announces on Twitter that Matt Luke is a head coach. I was taken aback, and, you know, while we're bringing up Twitter, a lot of people were saying, oh, well, you know what's coming with Ole Miss, and they had to do this. Well, I don't know. I mean, I honestly don't, and maybe Matt Luke was the right guy, but I don't think
that played into it. I really don't. I don't think either. I don't think
the
that
more
as
that
we,
I talk to people, yeah. It doesn't seem like that's really the route that they are intending. But I will say this, you know, the coaches around this country could not be happier for Matt Luke. I talked to a coach in the Pac-12 who was ecstatic for him. And he said, that's great. And it was a coach who ended up getting his own dream job. And he said that people don't realize when you get that job and you look at other jobs and say, there's no way I want to go anywhere else. Like it's life changing in so many different ways. And so that's great for Matt Luke. I just looked at it as Ole Miss had time to hire Matt Luke. I think it also had time to look at other candidates. I think the same thing with Florida. I think Dan Mullen is a great hire for Florida. I think they had time to look at other candidates. Whether they felt like Tennessee was going to be that much of a threat or not, I feel like in this day and age, coaching hires are getting rushed and rushed because there's this idea of, well, we're going to lose out on our guy. If that is totally your guy, then I get it. But I tend to think that this year there were so many good candidates for so many jobs. There was time to look around and vet an interview. And for any good job, it's okay if you interview more than one person. It's okay if you interview five people. I know that it gets crazy in coaching, and I know that there's this idea of we've got to be first, we got to be fast, or they're going to get our guy. If you can sell your program to somebody and you can talk to them, you have a chance. And so I don't know. I was taken aback because of it happening so quickly after the season.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was, I'll be honest, Friday, Saturday, I thought it was Dave Doran at NC State.
Yeah, he was a name that I had heard, you know. I want to know who the candidates, and I talked to a few coaches who pulled back on Ole Miss because of the COI, but said, you know, this is a place that, you know, Hugh Freeze proved that you can win. Now, did he have some issues in how they were able to win? Absolutely. But the job is better now than it was when Hugh Freeze took over. And I think that was attractive to a lot of coaches on the outside. I I want to know who would have been these coaches that would have taken the job sight unseen. Because that's the tough part right there. If the NCAA continues to drag, then it just delays the process. But in all honesty, when it comes to Florida, when it comes to Tennessee, when it comes to UCLA, Texas A&M, Arizona State, I don't know how many of those guys, Arkansas, would have been play at Ole Miss in those schools. So I think there would have been time, and Matt Luke was going to be there. This was his dream job. And I'm not saying he's not the right guy, but you owe it to yourself to talk to people. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, and I think they did, and I think they were still planning to. It's one of those things we'll never know because, you know, once the hires are made, the spin machine goes so fast that right. No one can stop it. And right. I understand that. I get it. I understand why people do it. You and I are, I think one of the reasons we get along so well is neither one of us are propagandists. And so when the spin machines kind of start going, I just sort of take a step back and sort of wait for them to slow down. Because now, as I said on another podcast, Matt Luke's in the scoreboard business. He got his job. It doesn't matter how he got it. From his standpoint, it doesn't matter how he got it. He got it.
Right.
And now you're going to be judged not on how you got the job any more than Dan Mullen's not going to be judged in Gainesville as, hey, you were the third choice. Nope, it's not a mitigating factor. It's you're the coach. No. You're the coach of the Gators.
Right.
And the Gators are either going to win or the Gators are going to lose, and that's how you're going to be judged. And the same holds true for Matt Luke. So it doesn't really matter for him. He moves forward. It will at some point, if it goes badly, be used as an indictment against Ross Bjork, and that's when the story of the process and how it happened will become relevant, and it will become it will get very loud. If Matt Luke wins, it doesn't matter how it happened. Ross wins too. If Matt doesn't win, they'll go back and they'll be the same people today who are, hey, Matt's our guy. I'm glad they hired an Ole Miss guy. Blah blah blah. Those people will say, how did we end up here? I want to know what happened. And that will become a big story. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. All right. And I think safe hires, just like Dan Mullen of Florida. I mean, I think it's a really good hire. It's incredibly safe. It can be there is little gray area with safe hires in the long run.
Yeah, you either win or lose.
Exactly.
Do you think Dan Mullen was prepared to take the Tennessee job Saturday, early Sunday, if Florida had decided to wait a little while?
From the people I talked to, I don't think that he was sold on Tennessee being a better job than Mississippi State. And I didn't talk to him directly. This is talking to people who know him really well, that I think he was definitely considering Tennessee. And again, if you're Dan Mullen, you should consider every job that comes to your doorstep. You know, even if you want to stay at Mississippi State, like, you might as well. Your name is getting out there. Talk to people. But I do think that it would have been tougher for him to leave Mississippi State for Tennessee than Florida. And, you know, one coach told me that the thing with Dan was that he knew how much talent was coming back to Starkville next year. He didn't know with Tennessee if he could duplicate the same sort of success, but he knew that he could keep it going in Starkville. And that's going to be tough if you already know that you're coming in behind. I don't think he thinks he's going into Florida behind. Yes, the program is not nationally relevant. It has fallen into a crevice. And we have no idea when it's going to come out. But I think his ability to win faster at Florida was much higher than Tennessee.
You mentioned Florida had more time. They obviously wanted Chip Kelly. They went down that road for quite some time. They, at least, the very least, kicked the tires on Scott Frost. And he either, through his intermediaries, was stubborn and said, hey, I'm coaching this game against Memphis on Saturday, and man, I'm locked in, go Knights until this is over. Or he let them know, look, I'm going to Nebraska, the deal's done. One way or the other. At that point, when Scott Strickland finds out, can't get Kelly, probably can't get Frost, what were his options? You know the politics of Gainesville and Florida better than I possibly could. you always hear about Jeremy Foley's on the periphery and not too terribly far from the center. Did Dan Mullen represent Scott Strickland's last chance to hire his guy?
I don't think so. I think that Willie Taggart would become an option. I think Charlie Strong would have become an option. Those are the two names that I kept hearing consistently once the Scott Frost idea kind of fell apart, leading actually pretty much the end of the day Saturday. And I think that Willie Taggart certainly would have been a Scott Strickland type of hire, but also the little Foley, because he's that up and coming name. So I think that this, the thing with Dan Mullen is if he hadn't have been his AD at Mississippi State, there's not going to be this storyline of, well, if it doesn't work, then he just went to the easy pail and got the guy that he worked with. And, you know, he's just comfortable with him. If Dan Mullen did the same exact thing at SMU, I think that overwhelmingly, immediately, Florida fans are ecstatic. And from everything that I've seen, Florida fans are pretty excited now after Dan Mullen won the press conference and then has been recruiting his butt off the last couple of days. Even going to see Justin Fields, the number one player in the country, at the position that Florida has not had in nearly a decade. So I think that there certainly would have been more options. And I think that they would have been Strickland-type hires. I don't think that it would have gotten to the point to where Florida would have been struggling to find someone to come to Gainesville.
We're going to take a break from our interview with Edward Ashoff to tell you that the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden is also brought to you by Community Mortgage. Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, DeSoto County, and Chattanooga. It's 30 years old this year. It's one of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. All the underwriting and processing is done in Memphis, so you are getting local underwriting that understands your market. It's the leader in condo financing in the Oxford market. So ask Jason Lowe about Community Mortgage's float down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. But if rates go down before you close, you can get the lower rate. It's JLowe, that's JLOWE, at communitymtg.com. The podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you're a business with a high-ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, etc., Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application. With rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580, they will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown at 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee. For Oxford Crystal Beer Garden listeners, that's a $500 savings, so call him today. We're also brought to you by Strategic Partners and Media. SPM is a full-service advertising agency, works with businesses of all types, big or small, Fortune 500s to startups. SPM can help your advertising needs for TV, radio, print, and every facet of social and digital media. Look, here's why SPM is really good and different from other ad firms. They handle everything in-house. They don't sub their work out, the writing, the production, the editing. It's all done solely by their staff and created uniquely for their clients. On top of that, an Ole Miss grad and a Mississippian is a partner in the firm, also a friend of ours. So give them a call. See how great they are. You won't regret it. It's Austin at strategicpartnersmedia.com. Also brought to you by Captain John Fryer and Tuna Chaser Charters in Biloxi. John handles inshore and offshore fishing expeditions from 4 to 12 hours. John knows where to put you on the fish that you want to catch. A popular trip these days is inshore trips, speckled trout, triple tail, blackfish. You can reach John through his website, tunachasercharters.com, his Facebook page, or you can call John 228-348-7817. The podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair. You can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, their work is second to none. Comer is an American Standard dealer, but they work on any maker model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com, or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast. You get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane, 662-832-8749. All right, lastly, we are, not least, but last, we are brought to you by LB's Meat Market. I went to LB's day before Thanksgiving. I got a standing rib roast, put it in a, I lit up my Big Green Egg, got it to about, I don't know, 300 degrees, got the cast iron hot. Put the standing, I melted some butter, put some olive oil, roasted some garlic to flavor the butter and the oil. Then I put the standing rib roast in the hot cast iron. I seared it on all sides, then got the heat down a little bit and roasted it to the desired temperature. I served it medium rare. And I just kind of spooned the butter and the oil on top of the meat just to keep it moist. It was fantastic. LB's Greg is great. Go into LB's, all the fresh cuts, whether it's standing rib roast, whether it's pork. He'll make you a pork roast, which I'm going to try here really soon. All sorts of stuff that Greg has. You tell him what you want, the bone-in ribeyes, fillets, strips, briskets, whatever you want. Greg's got it there at LB's. Not only does he have it, it's the very best you're going to find in Oxford or anywhere at all close to Oxford. So if you're coming in for the weekend, you go into your condo or whatnot, run by LB's, stock up. If you live anywhere near Oxford, LB's is the place to go here in the holiday season. 662-259-2999. 662-259-2999. 2008 University Avenue in Oxford. All right, here is your LB's trivia question of the day. First person to respond to me on Twitter, you have to hashtag Beer Garden, hashtag LB's Meat Market, and we'll get it. You'll win a $25 gift certificate to LB's. Kind of a difficult question today. Who was the last professional hockey player to play without a helmet? Who was the last professional hockey player to play without a helmet? Send that answer to me on Twitter, hashtag Beer Garden, hashtag LB's Meat Market, and you'll win a $25 gift certificate to LB's. All right, now back to our interview with Edward Ashoff of ESPN on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. Okay, you mentioned Willie Taggart. I talked to some people all over the country about Taggart because obviously his name came up with Ole Miss, and Ole Miss was going to throw a lot of money at him just in case the timing didn't work out. And the one thing I heard from some people was, speaking of dream jobs, his might just open up in a few days. What's going to happen? Obviously, Willie Taggart's at Oregon. He's done a great job at Oregon with recruiting and that kind of thing. I'm sure he has at least one eye on the Jimbo Fisher situation at Tallahassee. A&M, look, they've been confident before. They're a confident bunch, and that sometimes bites them in the you-know-what. But A&M is awfully confident that they're getting Jimbo Fisher here really soon. He's got to coach against the academic powerhouse that is Louisiana Monroe on Saturday. And then after that, he's free to go, and most people think he's going. You're pretty connected to this in the state of Florida. Is Jimbo Fisher about to coach his final game at FSU? And if so, is that Willie Taggart's gig?
I would be surprised if Jimbo Fisher were coaching at Florida State any longer. And really, because I will say this, we've seen this story before, and Jimbo Fisher has ended up back at Florida State. So it is absolutely not a done deal. But when you talk to people on both sides of this, Texas A&M side and people in Florida, it is seeming more and more like the Jimbo Fisher time at Florida State is ending. And Texas A&M, outside of the money, brings in new resources in the state of Texas. It brings in a new administration. But it also brings him back to the SEC West, and he was comfortable there at LSU. He knows the area. He knows how to recruit there. He knows the pressure cooker that is the SEC, because he just came from the pressure cooker that is Florida State. So I think that he would be an absolute great fit at Texas A&M. And as far as Willie Taggart with Florida State, I mean, there's no secret that this is a guy who would clean up in recruiting in the state of Florida. And I think that I was surprised that Florida didn't make a run at him at all during the process. You know, talking to people close to him, you know, Florida didn't reach out. And that could be Florida State's gain because, you know, Dan Wolken of USA Today reported last night that Florida State has started to look at background information and kind of start to vet Willie Taggart. And if he is a guy who ends up on the short list at Florida State, they are in for someone who is going to just work his butt off.
Oh, they're going to become such a power, man.
Oh, and to bring Jim Levitt and Mario Cristobal to the state of Florida together, to recruit together, it's going to be a machine. And I think with the success in Miami he's had under Mark Richt, Dan Mullen going to Florida, if Willie Taggart were to get involved in Florida State, I would want to be the new recruiting writer in the state of Florida. Like, that's what I would want to cover, because it is going to be a bloodbath. It is going to be amazing to see these three powers recruiting against each other in a totally different way. And Jimbo Fisher was a great recruiter. Florida has not had a great recruiter since Will Muschamp. Dan Mullen is going to put some guys out there, and they are going to recruit aggressively. And if Willie Taggart gets into that, it's going to be nothing but fun. He is someone I think could really win. Another name, I think Charlie Strong is another guy who could be considered for that job. And listen, he's been spurned by Florida three times in this coaching search. Just imagine what his emotions are if he were to get the Florida State job and have an opportunity to A, play Florida every year, and B, recruit against them much more than he is with South Florida. I mean, he would be going head-to-head with Dan Mullen for just about every prospect. Like, this is what we need. This is the drama that we need in college football.
Oh, it would be fun. Nothing against Charlie Strong. But if I'm Florida State, and again, I mean this as absolutely no disrespect to Charlie Strong at all. But if I'm Florida State and I can have Willie Taggart, I'm done. I'm good.
He's young. He's charismatic. He's going to win every press conference.
He's perfect.
He's a player's guy. And the thing is, like, from an X's and O's standpoint, he completely changes his offense at USF. And he started to win. And he carried that over to Oregon. And if Justin Herbert doesn't go down, he is probably one of the guys we're talking about immediately when the Florida job opens, when the Tennessee job opens. So to me, he's really underrated. And to me, he molds his offenses very smartly now. And he knows how to talk to and develop quarterbacks. And Florida State, they got the horses, they just haven't had the coaching outside of Jimbo Fisher this last year.
Okay, I know you've done this a lot. There's a lot of people that have talked about this. I'm not going to ask you to go give me your Ron Chernow version of the story, but just kind of your quick thoughts on what happened at Tennessee. You know, they wanted Mullen, they didn't get him. They hired Greg Schiano for a hot minute. That goes to hell in a handbasket. They make Mike Gundy richer. Kudos to Mike Gundy for playing that the way that he did. I'm a Mike Gundy guy. You're a genius, Mike.
I want him to orchestrate some contract for me.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I love Willie Taggart. I might actually love Mike Gundy more. And that's saying something, because I think Taggart's an absolute superstar. Gundy, to me, is just a rock star. I love the guy. Anyway, he says no, ultimately, and it looks like they're going to hire Brohm, which is going to end up being a pretty good hire. Where did Tennessee go wrong? Where did Curry go wrong? Did he let the Gruden thing get too hot?
I don't know if he ever thought Gruden was a real possibility. It's kind of like Florida with Bob Stoops. Like, every time there's been an opening, Bob Stoops' name, since he left, every single time, when Ron Zook got hired, when Urban Meyer got hired, when Will Muschamp got hired, when Jim McElwain got hired, when Dan Mullen got hired, that's five times Bob Stoops' name has come up. It's just one of those pipe dreams, right? It's just, you got to reach out, you got to do something. And I think this time, some of the Vol fringe just got way too into it, and it mushroomed into this impossible story. And of course, that was going to hurt you. But I think the Greg Schiano move from just a pure coaching standpoint, was not the right move. He's not the right fit at Tennessee. And I think that everything that I've heard about him is that he is a grinder who is just going to level your team. And I think that's something that Tennessee certainly needed. But too many people said that it was in the mold of Butch Jones, and that's just not going to excite this fan base. I think that fans matter, obviously. ADs have got to make the right business decision, but this was never going to go over well in Knoxville. Now you add the Jerry Sandusky, Penn State situation, and that's so complicated. There is no 100% proof, but I am not going to bash a fan base for not wanting to be connected with anybody associated with that. I mean, I totally understand it. And I think that John Curry should have realized that when he decided to go down that road. And now you have public egg on your face with Mike Gundy. And I'm not someone who laughs at schools when they go after the big fish and don't get them. Like Florida going after Chip Kelly, you absolutely go after Chip Kelly if you can. If you can get Mike Gundy in your Tennessee, you absolutely do. It doesn't happen. All right, it's on to the next one. But with social media now, they're the laughingstock of college football. And I think Jeff Braum would be a great hire for them. I just wonder if there's going to be excitement with this fan base when it happens, if it happens.
Little breaking news here. Not really breaking news, but something you and I just discussed. I'll give Dan Wilkin credit, which is not something that I prefer to do. Dan and I are not big buddies, but I'll give him credit. Dan Wilkin says, according to one person with direct knowledge of Dave Doran's thought process, he was close to becoming the next coach at Ole Miss. Last weekend, he canceled planned recruiting trips for his assistants last Sunday in anticipation of that announcement. The potential deal fell apart after Ole Miss won the Egg Bowl on Thursday night, and school officials decided, I think late Friday, to give the permanent job to interim coach Matt Luke. I'll just say that I think that now that someone else has written it, I will say that I think Dan is accurate. I think that reporting is based on fact, and I don't understand it. And I will get killed here for saying that because it will come across as a slap at Matt Luke. It is not a slap at Matt Luke. Again, I'm happy for Matt Luke. It's part of the storyline that if it ends up going badly, this will be more than a footnote. Let's put it that way.
So Dave Doran would have taken the job sight unseen.
Okay. Yeah. You and I talk about this. You have an advantage that I don't have because you. Now, don't get me wrong. National media guys get pushed back against. I know that you have a much larger microscope on you than I do. I'm in the bubble here, and so people will get angry that you don't toe the company line. It is my understanding that Dave Doran intended to take the job. It is my understanding that dollar figures had maybe not been exchanged, but had been hinted at, that the deal was basically done and that Dave Doran was excited to come to Oxford.
I can't wait for the 30 for 30 on it. It's surprising.
Ole Miss didn't go to a 30 for 30. It's going to be a 150 for 150. I mean, there's so much to go with this NCAA thing and Leo Lewis and Hugh Freeze and massage parlors and now the Matt Luke thing and the chancellor taking the coaching search away from the AD at the last minute, potentially. You can't cover that in a 30 for 30. ESPN, you guys are good with the 30 for 30, but you're not that good.
It'll be a much longer episode, that's for sure.
Okay. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I'm just, yeah.
All right, real quick, the one that's still sitting out there that's interesting to me. It's Wednesday as we tape this again. Arkansas has not done anything and appears to be moving very deliberately, which means one of two things. They either don't know what they're doing or they still think they can get Gus Malzahn.
Well, I'll just say this. I don't think that we can totally put to bed that Gus Malzahn won't go to Arkansas or will go to Arkansas. I think that what happens if they lose to Georgia this weekend in the SEC championship game? What are fans going to do then? I think the problem, I still think the problem with Gus Malzahn and Arkansas or Auburn is if he doesn't win a national championship, there's still going to be that part of the fan base that goes, well, it's going to be the same old thing. And I don't know if that's fair or not because Gus's resume has been up and down. But I think it's pretty impressive that he started off 5-2 and is now a win away from being in the college football playoff. He's the number two team in the country because he beat number one Georgia by a million points and then beat number one Alabama in the Iron Bowl. And 26-14 does not do justice to what Auburn did to Alabama. I don't care what any Alabama fan says.
No, I watched it. It was an absolute
game.
It was a beating. Yes,
that was Auburn's game. And if he loses to Georgia after beating him, I think the gloves are off. I think all bets are off at that point because I don't know what the fan base at Auburn thinks. They go, well, you know what? We did all this just to come up short. Now our rival Georgia, who we beat, is going to the playoff, and we're on the outside looking in. And what if they lose and it knocks Alabama up? Like, I don't think that would happen. I think Alabama would need Auburn to win for them to get more points. I don't think that you can totally just poo-poo it at this point, even though they beat Alabama. I think it still is leaning heavily more toward Auburn, but I don't think it's necessarily over. I mean, the other names that I've heard, you know, Mike Norvell, he has ties to the school and the state of Arkansas. You know, I've heard Charlie Strong's name come up, but not as much as I think I thought I would have heard, considering he's an Arkansas guy. You know, talking with people close to him, I don't know how interested he would really be right now. And then it's just, you know, is it Chad Morris an option? Mike Leach has come up in conversation with people. And, you know, I think that Mike Leach's personality at Arkansas would be very interesting. Would he? And I think that that's kind of an area of the country where he would be able to recruit and find guys for his system, kind of like he did at Texas Tech. And you still don't have to, I mean, you always have to worry about recruiting in the Southeast, in Georgia, in Florida, in parts of Alabama, in the Carolinas. But I think that he'd be able, he'd be okay not having to really dive into those areas all the time to fit his offense. So I think that he's certainly a name that you can't overlook. Maybe even at Brent Venables at Clemson. They need defense in the worst way. And I think Brent Venables has become one of the best defensive minds in college football.
Yeah, and he's not going to wait for Kansas State forever. There's got to come a moment where he goes, hey, I got to do something. I mean, I you only live once. I need to go ahead and cash in here.
Yeah. No, that absolutely makes sense. So I think Venables or Leach would be fantastic hires if the Gus Malzahn train does not happen.
Okay, last thing, and I've kept you longer than I said I would. Auburn, the Gus Malzahn train rolls into Atlanta this weekend to play Georgia again. They absolutely brutalized Georgia the last time they played them. I know it's a rematch and crazier things happen. You tell me, I think Auburn wins again, assuming Kerryon Johnson is quasi-healthy. I think Auburn wins the football game. Right now they might be the hottest team in the country, which will make for a really interesting Sunday afternoon in Auburn, because I think Gus Malzahn could do the big baller walk right into the whoever it is in charge at Auburn and go pay me, but
or he just rides off into the sunset,
which would be fascinating.
No one gets him.
Wouldn't that be crazy if he said, you know what, I got you here, but I got stuff to do. I'm going to Fayetteville. Holy, that would he has him absolutely by the short hairs if he wins on Saturday. Period. They almost have no choice but to give him whatever he wants, even though I don't think they want to. Who wins that game?
I think Auburn does. I like how this Auburn team is playing, and I think they're such a bad matchup for Georgia. For one thing, they're so good up front, and Georgia's pass protection was just not good against Auburn last time. And if you go back and look when Georgia played better defensive fronts, they didn't throw the ball well, and they were able to run. I don't think they can run like they usually do against Auburn. There's just too much talent in that front seven, and those defensive backs play so well in the box. And I also think offensively, the left-right runs just totally gashed that Georgia defense last time. I think Kerryon Johnson is probably going to be playing at around 65%, but there's no way you're keeping him off the field. And he's going to make some tough, tough, tough plays. And that's, to me, such an advantage mentally for Auburn. I will say this, though. The pressure is on Auburn. It's not on Georgia. This is Kirby Smart's second year. People picked him to win the SEC East, but no one picked him to go to the playoff. So you're kind of playing with house money. You lose this game, that's still a huge accomplishment. If Auburn loses this game, again, we're talking about the whole Gus Malzahn thing. So I think that that's something that you can't overlook in this one. I think I picked this game like 27-20 Auburn. I think it's that might be too low scoring, but I think this is going to be a good game. The great thing is this weekend, all of these championship games are going to be such good games.
Like I think so too.
Florida is no longer in the SEC championship game, so you can actually watch what's happening in Atlanta.
Okay, very last thing. Who's going to make the playoffs? Who's the four teams, and who should they be? Who's going to do it, and who should do it?
Okay, I think the four teams are going to be Clemson, Auburn, Oklahoma, which means Baker Mayfield gets to come out here and hang with me. And then the fourth one?
I'm jealous.
I think it's going to be Ohio State. I think Ohio State's going to beat Wisconsin, and they are going to jump to number four because they've got a much better resume than Alabama, and they've got a conference championship, and I think that that second loss to Iowa is going to be nixed because of the conference championship and the fact that Alabama has one of the worst strengths of schedule of any of the Power Five powers. And I think that's what's going to happen. And Alabama fans are going to go crazy. But if you're doing it by the letter of the law,
yep,
those are things. And if we're talking about the four best teams in the country right now, I do not feel confident saying that Alabama is one of the four best right now.
No, if you look at Alabama's last two real games, they did not pass the eye test against Mississippi State or
they're
Auburn.
They're banged up. They're dealing with injuries. This is not a team that – this is not the same team that blew everybody out in September and October. It's just not. It is a banged up team, and the last two defenses that were worth anything played really well against Jalen Hurts. Yeah, I don't think that they passed the eyeball test either to be one of the top four teams. So I think Ohio State is going to jump into this mix, and they're going to play Clemson. And it's going to be a rematch of last year's first round, so we'll see how that goes.
Well, my man, as always, it was a lot of fun. I know there's more stuff to happen. It's not like you're going to get any time off this week, so enjoy the hectic next few days, all the bowl selection stuff, and I'd love to visit with you again soon.
Yeah, man. Christmas is around the corner. I wonder if we'll get to celebrate it this year.
I'm planning to.
All right. Good.
Maybe we'll talk some Christmas stuff before the holiday. If not, Merry Christmas. But I'm going to plan on getting you on here on the Beer Garden before Santa makes his big trip.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, man. Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye.
Our thanks to Edward, one of my really good friends, a great guy to talk to, a guy that I bounced a lot of things off of during coaching search when I was covering the Ole Miss search that led to the hiring of Matt Luke. Ed's a great guy, always generous with his time. So happy for his success and really appreciate him coming on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. That does it for today. Hope you have a great weekend. We'll be back next week. Maybe we'll preview this the NFL final month of the NFL season. Talk about some things you can look for there. Baseball free agency about to heat up. Hopefully we'll talk a little baseball as the winter meetings get close. NBA season approaching sort of the quarter pole. Maybe we'll talk about that as well. Really don't know as I sit here and record this on a Thursday morning, but we will get that beer garden to you next week. Maybe we'll even have two of them as things finally start to slow down a little bit on the Ole Miss beat. So that does it for today, for this week. Hope you have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. Until then, take care.